Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. And we're going to read a few verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Exodus chapter number 14. Just a moment to find that, Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to start reading in verse number 5 and down through verse number 13. The Bible said, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pearoth and or before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for this day, and Lord, we're thankful for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, as we come this morning, we think about our nation. We think about all the people in the path of the hurricane and those that have already lost life and property down in the islands and all along through there. Lord, just the devastation of the storm that's coming. Lord, I know that many of us know people, and we're thinking about those people this morning. We pray for them, and Lord, we pray for mercy upon our nation. And God, I pray that you would give protection, and I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be as bad as they're predicting that it will be. Lord, we pray for your mercy. We need your help. But Lord, help us as we look in your word today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would have your way in our lives. And I pray that your will would be done today. We have a lot of things we're praying about. And Lord, we need your help. I pray your will would be done. And I thank you for all the blessings that we have. And we come asking for liberty today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we're looking this morning, and this is a very well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible. Exodus chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 talks about the Passover. It talks about Israel's delivery from the pursuit of Pharaoh. And we know if we read on how God miraculously made a way for the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea. But if we go back in verse number 13, we'll start there this morning. The Bible said, Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And when the Bible says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, when it says Moses said unto the people, there's a lot of people there. I've been watching the news over the past several days, and of course I mentioned it when I was praying, but the hurricane coming on September the 8th, there was a news story, And it said that an estimated 1.3 million people have been ordered to evacuate Florida ahead of the hurricane, ahead of Hurricane Irma. And the news story was showing all the highways, how that they were just lined up bumper to bumper, and they were just creeping along. You could probably walk faster than the traffic was moving in some places. And then this morning on the news, I watched just a little bit to see what had happened overnight, and it said on the news this morning that 7 million people had evacuated or trying to evacuate and get out of the path of the storm. And of course, some of them went from Miami to Tampa, and they thought they'd be all right there, and then they're finding out that there might not be all right there. So I guess it'd be a double evacuation there for some people going on. And it's just been, it's been in the news, and there's been so many people on the highways and trying to go other places, and trips that have been taken, you know, would normally take maybe 6 hours or taking 12 or 18 hours to get to somewhere. It's just been such a massive evacuation of people. And a nightmare as far as getting everybody safe and out of harm's way. Thousands and millions of people are in shelters and not in their homes, and just basically having to flee the path of this hurricane. But by comparison, as we look here in the Bible this morning, there were a million Jews that were fleeing Egypt. So when it said in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. You know, that's not like a movie that you see on TV where there's about 100 people acting out there like they're the children of Israel. But there was a multitude of people trying to flee, trying to get out. We might say they were fleeing Hurricane Pharaoh, and he was in hot pursuit after them. And Pharaoh and his army and his chariots and his military, full of rage, full of vengeance that they wanted to carry out upon the children of Israel. In fact, I don't know if you noticed there in verse number 5, but we started out, and the last phrase in verse number 5, they said, and this is the Egyptians, why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us? They'd let all of their workforce, all of their slaves go free. And they no sooner get away from the Egyptians that Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, they change their mind and they say, why have we done this? Why have we let them go? Let's pursue after them. Let's go get them. Let's go bring them back into bondage. And Israel had come to a place of a dead end. In fact, the people had pretty much given up in verses 11 and 12. The Bible said, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. You see, they'd come to a place as they were trying to get out of Egypt and get away from Pharaoh. They're at the edge of the Red Sea, and there is a wilderness on both sides. To the right hand and to the left, it's not an option. We're not talking about 10 or 15 people trying to get away and escape through the mountains or through the desert. We're talking about a million people. You just don't pick up a million people and move in a short period of time. It's a long, long process to move that many people. And it seems like that they are in an impossible situation. Here they are, and they've come to the edge of the Red Sea. And they look back, and they see Pharaoh's army coming after them. Verse number 10, the Bible said, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Pharaoh's army was so close, the children of Israel saw them. The Bible says they drew nigh unto them. They could see them coming after them. And they are in an impossible situation. But the word from heaven is found in verse number 13. And the Bible says two times there, it says, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And so the Israelites think they're done, they're over, they're through with. But God said, I'm going to do something today. And I like that in the Bible when we find those words, today. It seems like so many times it just takes that nothing seems to happen. But here God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel, God said, I'm going to do something for you and I'm going to do it today. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the Today Show. We're going to see in this passage of Scripture what God's going to do for Israel in one day. In one day. Now, shows are usually done in segments, so we're going to look at some different segments in this story this morning and try to point out what God did for them in one day. And so, first of all, we're going to sort of stay here in verse number 13, but first of all, we want to think about this subject that great changes may come suddenly. Many times, changes do come suddenly. And we find that God said, today I'm going to do it. He will show you today, for the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And today, as we look here and think about this passage of Scripture, today they are being pursued. And on this day, it looks like that they are out of hope and they are out of possibilities, and it looks like that Moses made a bad decision in leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, because they said, were there no graves in Egypt? It would have been better to stay in Egypt as a slave and live than to be brought out here in the wilderness just to die. Were there no graves in Israel or Egypt? What they said there in that verse, where there are no graves in Egypt, they are being pursued. But by the next day, God says, ye shall see them again no more forever. And so they're getting ready to have a major change in their situation and in their circumstance. And I was talking to somebody this past week, and they said the statement to me about that they had prayed and prayed about a certain thing. Why hasn't anything happened? Do you ever feel like that? We prayed and we prayed, and sometimes, you know, we might have a situation and we'd like for it to be wrapped up, you know, sort of like a TV show. 30 minutes, you can solve all the problems you've ever, you know, an hour, you can save the world. 30 minutes, you can save about anything else. But you know, life's not like a television show. Many times, things that we're praying about and concerned about, they drag on for months, many times a year, 5 years, 10 years, 40. I mean, things in this life can just go on and on and on and drag out and drag out. But you know, if you know anything about the Bible, the children of Israel, they had been in Egypt for over 400 years. Look back in chapter number 12, what the Bible says in verse number 40 and verse number 41. We're going to look at a lot of verses this morning and try to give you some sense of what had been going on in Egypt for this long time now. Chapter 12 and verse 40, the Bible said, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Do you know that's older than our nation? You know how far you have to go back 430 years? And the children of Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years. And verse 41, the Bible said, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. They had been in bondage for over 400 years. So when we come to chapter number 14 and we see all these Israelites traveling together out of Egypt, do you realize that all of them had been born in slavery? None of them had ever been free one day. All of their parents had been born as slaves down in Egypt. None of them had ever been free one day. All of their grandparents and their great grandparents, you'd have to go back a long, long ways to go back 430 years. And all they had from those days before they were slaves, they had a casket in Egypt with them that had Joseph's bones in it. And that's all the promise that they had that they'd ever get out of Egypt. If you look over in chapter 13, verse 19, you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about, a casket full of bones?" When they came up out of Egypt, the Bible said in chapter 13, verse 19, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." Genesis chapter 50, verse number 25. You have to go all the way back to there where Joseph dies and says, "Put my bones, keep my bones, and when you leave Egypt, you take my bones with you." Who kept the bones all those years? I don't know. They may have been passed around in a yard sale for all we know. "What you got for sale?" "Well, somehow I got this casket. It's Joseph's bones. And you know, we've been slaves for 100 years, for 200 years. And I don't know why we're hanging on to these things. But that old man said one of these days we would not be slaves anymore. And when we get delivered out of Egypt, we're supposed to take his bones with us." But you know, I don't know if that'll ever happen or not. That's a long time ago. Just bones now, that's all that's left. That's all they had. We say a lot of times, you know, "My situation, my trial, my circumstance, is this ever going to end?" But Israel had been slaves. They've been in Egypt for over 400 years. And if you've had something going on for 400 years, you would tend to think in your mind, this is never going to end. They'd been slaves most of that time, not all of that time, but most of that time. And now here towards the end, it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. You know, a lot of times we say before it gets better, it's going to get worse. Well, it did then. I mean, Israel's been in terrible shape. And this has been going on a long time. And if we were to go back and study up to chapter number 14, we find that the harsh hand of Pharaoh, he's been putting the pressure on them. He has been taking away their material to work with, where once upon a time he supplied the materials to make the brick and all of these things, and no days off, and it's harder and it's harder and it's harder. Sort of like life gets. We look around today, and I was thinking this morning, I could go through the church today and I could mention 10, 20, 30 people. I could probably go to every family, every head of household in here, and you've got problems and you've got problems and problems and problems and problems. We think to ourselves, is it ever going to come? Is anything ever going to change? But you know what? It did and it does. Things do change. Proverbs 29, verse number 1, the Bible said, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That change does come. And historically and biblically, it tends to come very, very quickly. We could go through the Bible this morning. We could pull many examples out of history. I mean, Israel had been in bondage for over 400 days, but or 400 years, but it's all going to change in a day. We could go back and talk about Noah and his sons and the ark. Do you know the Bible says the flood came in a day? But the Bible says that Noah worked on the ark for 100 years. And he lived in a wicked, ungodly generation. And I'm sure that they thought to themselves, this is never going to end. But it did, and it came in a day. I remember the day after Christmas in 2004, December the 26th, 2004, and there was an earthquake in the Indian Ocean, and it caused a tsunami, and I'm sure that many of you remembered that. And in 14 countries, 230,000 to 280,000 people lost their lives in a day. There's been documentaries, there's been movies made about that. And you know, everybody went to bed not expecting anything, but by the next day, everything had changed. Then tomorrow, we will observe 9/11. And anybody that was alive and remembers 9/11, do you know that changed everything in our country? It changed how we travel. It changed how our enemies and our allies in the world. It changed our military, how it operates, how we go to war or get out or never get out of war. It changed everything. Nothing has ever been the same since then. If you flew before 9/11 and you've tried to fly after, it changed everything. Once upon a time, you could just go to the airport and get on a plane. It wasn't a big deal. Now, they're going to look through you before you get on a plane. You ever had to stand in the X-ray machine and change everything? Things do happen, and they tend to happen quickly. Many, many examples that we could give. Things will continue to happen very, very quickly. Although we think this is going to go on forever. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16, and we're talking about the coming of the Lord. And this is something that the Bible calls our blessed hope. But the Bible tells us, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is our blessed hope. And that is not going to happen in slow motion. That's going to happen very, very quickly. But see, time and things going on, it lulls us to sleep, and we think, we get in our minds, it's always going to be like it is. But I'm telling you, according to the Bible and historical examples, major changes happen very quickly. This storm that's coming at Florida, and you know, you hope it won't be as bad as it. They say it will, but I'm telling you, the potential is that it will change people's lives for years and years. And they will say, before Irma and after, change their lives. Things do change, and they change quickly. Number two, this morning we learn from this passage of Scripture, second of all, that opportunity may vanish quickly. Opportunity can quickly get gone. The Egyptians, don't read your Bible and say, oh, the poor Egyptians. They had a front row seat to God's power and God's ability. However long this went on, the 10 plagues, and Moses went down there and told Pharaoh, said, let my people go, and Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, and God would send a judgment. Do you know that every one of these plagues was a judgment upon the false gods of Egypt? The Egyptians, they were idolaters. They were polytheistic, which means they worshiped many gods. They worshiped the sun god. God blacked out the sun. They worshiped the Nile River. They said the Nile gives life, and they made sacrifices, and the god of the Niles and the crocodiles and all of those things. They worshiped everything. God turned the water in the Nile to blood. They worshiped the frogs as a fertility god. They worshiped the bull, and God said that He would take the firstborn of all the living. God judged all of their gods. And it looks to me like if they had a desire to know the one and true and living God, they had many opportunities to say, the God of Israel is greater than our gods. They had a front row seat And they saw firsthand what Israel's God was able to do. Pharaoh had many opportunities to let them go. In fact, there were times that he was wishy-washy between. He'd tell Moses, he'd say, okay, you can go so far. You can go, just don't take this and don't take that. But then he would change his mind. He had opportunities to let Israel go. But every time he changed his mind. In chapter 12, in verse number 12, if you look over there, what the Bible says. Back in chapter 12, in verse number 12, the Bible said, God said this, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night." This is the last straw. All the other plagues had taken place. God said, "I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Against all the gods of Egypt, God said He would judge. Hebrews 3 and verse 15, the Bible says in the New Testament, while it is said, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Oh, if we would take today as being really, really important. Today is an opportunity. But you may not have that opportunity tomorrow. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Today you are here. Today you are in church. Today the gospel is being preached. Today you have an opportunity. But who knows where they're going to be tomorrow? You don't know. We don't know what next week is going to be. We don't know where we're going to be in a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But today is an opportunity. But opportunities pass quickly, quickly by. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 28, Agrippa is over there. And Agrippa is the one that Paul witnessed to. And he heard the gospel and he heard what Paul had to say. And he sent Paul away and he told Paul, he said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He had a great opportunity, but he let it pass by. Almost. Wouldn't that be sad to spend eternity with an almost beside your name? Paul gave the gospel to Felix also. And Felix heard what Paul had to say and he heard the gospel. And he told Paul, he said, "I'm going to send you away now. But when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." You know what? That convenient season doesn't always come. We see over there, we see no time in Felix's life where he ever called for Paul. You know, I'll think about it. I'll put it off down the road, but that put it off down the road may never come. That convenient season, the Bible says today, today, but opportunity passes quickly away. Number three, we learn from this passage of Scripture, this today show before our eyes that pride leads to ruin. If you look in chapter 14 and we look at verses 8 and 9, what the Bible says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them, encamping by the sea." The Bible said they pursued after them. The Bible says there that in verse number 8, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, it said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." You know, a lot of people, they say, well, Pharaoh, he had no choice because the Bible said the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. But do you know, before the Bible says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, the Bible says Pharaoh hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you look back in chapter number 8 and verse number 15, look what the Bible says over there. When all this began, When Moses went down there and just did what God told him to do, and God told Moses to go before Pharaoh, and God told Moses to say, "Hey, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go." But in chapter 8 and verse number 15, the Bible says over there, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." Don't blame Pharaoh's condition on the Lord. Pharaoh hardened Pharaoh's heart first. The Bible says in chapter 8 and verse number 32, it said, "And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go." And chapter 9, verse number 34, the Bible said, "And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses." So we might see some people out here today and say, "Oh, you know, that they're just beyond, and there's no hope for them." Pharaoh hardened Pharaoh's heart. And that's how it happens in our lives. God wants you to come. God wants people to be saved. The Lord wants all to come unto the knowledge of Christ. The Lord wants all to come and repent of their sins. But when we find people hardened and hardened against the Lord, many times they have hardened their heart. And Pharaoh had no fear of the Lord. Pharaoh was not afraid of God's judgments. Pharaoh was not afraid of the Lord's power. Pharaoh thought he was invincible and that nobody could touch him. And even though God sent judgments and hail and lightning and rain, and they were afraid for a time, as soon as the sun came out, Pharaoh forgot all about that, and he hardened his heart even more. And people today, they harden their hearts. I'll never forget, several years ago, there was an article in the newspaper. I think I've still got it in my Bible, but there were tornadoes and storms happening out west, and there's a lot of destruction, and people were saying that they better pay attention. The Lord's trying to get our attention. And somebody wrote an article, and they said that Christians should get a divorce from the weather report. Just quit talking about the weather. That hurricanes have always come, and tornadoes have always come, and typhoons and tsunamis. And, you know, don't pay no attention to that. We read, and I appreciate the scripture this morning before Sunday school in Job 38, where the Bible told Job that God sends the wind, whether for judgment or for mercy or for his land. Don't be deceived this morning. God is in control of the weather. He does control the weather, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. But pride leads to ruin. Pharaoh thought he was invincible. I remember just, it's been several years ago now, but during the Gulf War and after that, and after 9/11, Saddam Hussein, the leader of Iraq, and boy, you talk about, he was the world's number one bad guy. Saddam Hussein thought he was invincible. He had built great palaces, and there's pictures all over Iraq, and he thought that he was the reincarnated Nebuchadnezzar, that he was the head of gold, and that he would rule the world. He thought that. If you know anything about his history, he thought that he was invincible. But you know, they found him in a hole, hiding, and they drug him out and they executed him like a criminal, like a common criminal. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This passage of scripture teaches us, reminds us that pride leads to ruin and destruction. Number four this morning, we learn this also from this passage of Scripture, that salvation of the believer is a certain thing. If we look back in verse number 13, the Bible, God told Moses to tell the people this, and Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Now, can you imagine the Israelites trying to figure that out? How is this going to happen? How, with their great army, and here we are, there's no way to escape. How is it going to happen that we will see them no more forever? They'd been in bondage to the Egyptians. They'd been beaten down by the Egyptians. They'd been belittled as a people. They'd been banned to worship their God by the Egyptians. But God said, "You will see them no more forever." The salvation of the believer is certain and final. See, the Bible teaches that if you're a believer, you have been saved. That's past tense. We are saved. That's present tense. But we are going to be saved. That's future tense. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." We are saved today from the power of sin. We're going to be saved one of these days from the presence of sin, finally and forever. And one day we'll see them no more forever. That's our blessed hope, to be totally, completely removed from this present world. And the Lord will accomplish this, as it says in His Word. Number five this morning, separation between the believer and the unbeliever will be complete. God said in verse number 13, "Ye shall see them no more forever." Now, the Egyptians were not only their captors, the Egyptians were their neighbors. Can you imagine 1 million people living in a society? There was interaction. They worked together. Many of the Egyptians themselves were slaves. The Bible said in chapter 11, in verse number 2, that they were neighbors over there. Chapter 11, verse 2, the Bible said, "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and let every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Man, they'd lived down there for 400 years. They had interaction with them. In fact, if you go back all the way to Exodus chapter number 1, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' life itself, he could thank the Egyptians for. This Pharaoh that Moses went down there and told Pharaoh, "Let my people go," that was his half-brother. The Pharaoh, the first Pharaoh, would have been his father. The second Pharaoh we read about was his half-brother. He was raised in his house. You don't think there's feelings there? You don't think there's memories there and all of these things? But the separation between unbeliever and believer one of these days is going to be completely final. We see that God said you'll see them no more forever. If you look around today in the world, your circle of friends, if you're a believer and they are unbelievers, one of these days, there's going to be a final separation. You'll see them no more again forever. Our friends, people that we work with, if they don't know the Lord, one of these days, we'll see them again no more forever. Look in your own family. I'm sure all of us this morning can think about people in our own family that you might go to a family reunion with, and you may live near them, but if they are an unbeliever and you are a believer, one of these days there's going to be a final total separation. look around and people you go to school with, you come in contact with, all of these things God said concerning the Israelites towards the Egyptians, after today, you'll see them no more forever. I referred to the Lord coming. When the Lord comes, you'll see them again no more forever, and they'll see us again no more. There's coming a final separation between the believer and the unbeliever. And that's why we need to work while it's day. To try to witness, to try to show people they need to be saved. They need to be born again. They need to take this serious that we're preaching about and talking about. People say, oh, I don't know. I don't think I believe in the Lord coming. Yeah, but you might die tomorrow. And the separation will be complete. Number six, and last of all this morning, salvation is of the Lord, and they had to stand still to see it. Now, if we look at verse 13 again, the Bible said, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Boy, it's hard to stand still whenever fiber of your being is saying we need to be running. All of us aren't going to get across that mountain, but maybe some of us could. Wouldn't that be your mentality? But God said, here's what I want you to do. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. They were trapped in. They had no army. The children of Israel had no weapons. They had no military. They were just sitting ducks there. And Egypt's army closing in on them. And there they are. The only way they're going to get out of this, God is going to have to perform a miracle. And that is exactly what the Lord does. If you look in verse 14, the Bible said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And that is exactly what happened. Moses lifted up his rod. We'll not read down through the rest of this. But God's presence went between Egypt and Israel. That's what it says in verse number 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land and the waters divided. All night long the wind blew, and in the morning when they got up, there is a path made for 1 million people to cross over on dry ground. The children of Israel didn't do anything but just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what He has done. We are not saved by our being baptized. We're not saved by being a member of a church. We're not saved by being good or keeping the Ten Commandments or anything like that. We're saved by grace. That was the grace of God that parted the Red Sea. When they got up, the Lord had already done all the work. All they done was believe and walk through it. Now that took faith. Can you imagine walking through and seeing a wall of water on the, and that's what the Bible says. There was a wall on each side. And you'd walk through and it'd be like going to one of them big aquariums. You've been down in Gatlinburg or the beach or somewhere and you can walk under the aquarium. And all I can think about is I walk through and a shark swims over your head or swims by and look, you're looking at them and they're looking at you. And I tell Kim every time, I said, I hope there's not an earthquake while we're in here. Because I can't swim that good and I don't think you'd make it out anyway. But I also thought about being the children of Israel, and you walk by and there goes the fishes on dry land. That was a miracle. They didn't do anything but just believe God. And that's all God's calling us to do today, is just believe His word. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. They had no part in what God did for them, except they just believed and stepped out by faith. Jesus came, He died on the cross, He paid the price for our sins, He was buried, He rose again the third day, just like the Bible says, and we're called to believe upon the Lord Jesus. He's done it all. You couldn't have done anything anyway, because you're lost. We're sinners, the Bible says. The only thing we're ever called or asked to do is just believe what God has done. And we're asked to do it, guess what? Today. Today is an opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee." That means I've helped thee. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Say, "Preacher, when should I get saved?" You better get saved when you have an opportunity. You better get saved when the Spirit of God deals with your heart and shows you that you are a lost person and that you need to be saved. That's when you'd better get saved. That's today. Today the Bible calls out. This Old Testament story of the redemption of Israel. We find it all throughout the Bible. It's the greatest miracle in the Bible, apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find it mentioned over and over and over again. God said, "Remember what I done for you when I brought you out of Egypt. Remember what I done for you in one day." In one day, God can change your life. I know there was a day when I went to church lost. And if I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. But I went home a child of God. One day. And that transaction, really, just a few minutes. It's great. The Lord's still able to work today. What a blessing. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'm going to ask Brother Dale, if he would pick us out a song, and Sister Sheila to come back this morning. And we're going to stand and sing in just a moment, but you may be here today, and you may have questions in your heart and in your mind. There might be somebody on your mind you're praying for, and you have a situation, you say, "Oh, it's never going to change, never going to change." Don't give up faith.